Well, good afternoon. It's about 33 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. This is Hannah Flohr, and I am here in Studio One with Erica Klutpainter, superintendent of the Petersburg School District. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, and look at that.
Sarah, perfect.
Sarah
timing.
Holmgren just zoomed in and is sitting down, and I'm going to get you all set up with your own mic. Okay. And Sarah Holmgren, hello. We're all tangled up. All right, she's switching around.
There we go.
Hi.
Perfect. About that.
That made for a very exciting start to this campus connection. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So there's a lot on the agenda, it seems like, for tonight. That school board meeting is coming up tonight at 6 p.m., as always. And one of the main things on the agenda was a proposed area of focus, actually four areas of focus, priority for the school board. And I wanted to start off just by asking about that planning session where you came up with those four areas of focus and why you need four areas of, or why you need areas of focus for the school board.
Part of it is, I mean, we're coming up with our own focuses, but we hadn't done our strategic planning for a while just because we ran into COVID, but usually try and, you know, you get too many areas of trying to focus and then you just never get anything done. If it's too small, then you're too narrow. So I think it's more of just kind of a recommended happy medium of between three and five things to focus on for the next 5 years. They need to be broad enough that you can be flexible with the changing needs of students, but at the same time have some clear direction so that you know what your expectations are and what our end goal is.
Okay. And so the four areas of focus, maybe we'll go through them one by one because I feel like they're quite meaty. The first one was well-being of staff and students. You decided on these four areas of focus based on a survey that was sent out.
Yes.
So all of this information is coming from feedback from parents and members of the community, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first one, well-being of staff and students. And, you know, I spoke with you yesterday about this, Erica, and you said that was all different kinds of well-being, emotional, intellectual, physical. Mm-hmm. What did you hear from people about that?
That's a lot of it was mental, at least the feedback I read, because we kind of took all the surveys and split them up amongst the table so that we're gonna, you know, there's no way you can read all of them in a sitting. So we had looked at ours, and that's what kind of our overriding, what we saw. And then ironically, or not ironically, coincidentally, maybe not, having spent the last weekend in Anchorage at the annual school board conference, that was an overriding theme consistent across the state, which, you know, you hear news reports that that is what we're seeing nationwide, but just the well-being of staff, how teachers are treated by parents and students, and then also the students' well-being. Are they ready to learn? Are they dealing with too much going on in their personal lives? So it's just what efforts as a board can we direct, fund, encourage, you know, any of those to improve the well-being, both mental as well as physical. But I think it's more of a mental than anything for our staff as well as the students.
And I've heard a lot in the news about students having nationwide having issues with stress, especially after COVID. But I hadn't, the staff is newer to me. And you said something about the way that parents treat staff.
I think it's been a trend that's been happening even pre-COVID, and that just kind of flared everything up. Everybody's under stress more. And unfortunately, just my own experience of going to school in the same district to watching my kids go through is how different parents, not all parents, some parents treat staff.
Interesting.
An example might be is that when I was growing up, if we got into trouble, it was automatically assumed we had screwed up, that it wasn't the teacher lying or manipulating or doing anything like that. And I think in some ways that is not an overriding theme, but it happens more often than we realize. And so that beats you down if you're dealing with that all the time, or even a handful, you know, even if it's only a couple of parents, but it's all year long, that can eat into your mental well-being.
Yeah.
As a staff member, and then start questioning what career choice you made. And, you know, we were dealing with the teacher shortage in Alaska nationwide. So it's just part of that is trying to, is there a way the school board can get ahead of that? Is there something we can do within our ability to improve the well-being of both students and staff.
Okay. And again, this is a 5-year plan. So
yes.
you don't have necessarily any answers at the moment,
no,
but you're
going
to be
thinking
about it.
We're going to be digging for them.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Next on the list, student, family, and community engagement. Can you talk a little bit about what that means specifically? What kind of engagement?
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Most of it, I think it was communication. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can try and communicate till you feel like you've accomplished it all, and yet we still have feedback on how we can improve. And there's going to be a subcommittee that's going to involve some parents that are willing to, you know, volunteer their time to try and see how we can, what additional resources or avenues have we not thought of that could help improve that communication with not only the community, so they know what's going on at the schools. Even if they're not a direct stakeholder, they are by being a community member and paying their real estate taxes and just the lives of, you know, their neighbors. But also for parents, grandparents, guardians, so that they feel heard, but also that it's easier maybe, or you know, is there a way we can communicate with them that's just more efficient than we are now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess. I do think that weighed into the next area of focus around communications, which mm-hmm. is sort of what became sort of its own separate area.
Yeah.
No,
that's right. Separated that out.
It was great though, because they did overlap. And mm-hmm. I think a big part of it was also just helping to find ways that we could really meaningfully engage families in a way that was helpful to them, and then also just really kind of that outreach to the community in general, and ways to engage them, ways to provide support or education to families, or you know, it maybe even broader than things like the math night or a literacy night or those kind of things, but maybe that's a start. Mm-hmm. And then trying to really just bring in we've done some of those over the years around technology use and cyber safety kinds of things. We've brought in experts. We've had community conversations about it. We've had them about, you know, over the years, you know, things about other areas of safety and concern for families, you know, whether it's related to drugs and alcohol kinds of mm-hmm. things, or just, you know, trying to provide supports depending on ages of kids and focusing on what kids are going to do beyond high school. You know, are there ways to have conversations with families early and often, mm-hmm. you know, about how to support their kids and helping them find their passion, mm-hmm. I guess, for what they want to do in their life, and how to do that on an island can be challenging because we don't, you know,
yeah,
we have our limited view here, and there are certainly lots of things that people can do for careers here, obviously, many things, but there are also a lot of other things out in the world that, you know, that kids could be encouraged to do. So I think just trying to bridge those relationships and outreach going out, and also bringing people mm-hmm. into the setting.
And that kind of goes then into the final one, pathways and diverse learning opportunities for students, which you were telling me yesterday is more about having different options for career choices, trade schools, and maybe even working on those options earlier before they're out of school. They're out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty robust career technical program here. We're pretty fortunate in our community, and our district has kept that as a focus here. There are a lot of places that haven't been able to maintain those types of programs, and we have focused on areas where we can provide ways for more licensure, where maybe students can end up with different certificates or training that they might be able to use right away when they leave high school, or that it could benefit them going into another program like AvTech or even moving into the university setting, if that's what they choose to do. Are there ways to sort of get them some good quality experiences in different areas before they go off to whatever it is they're going to do? Mm-hmm. So I think that definitely came through and has been an area of focus in a lot of districts, is ways to look at even different tracks to sort of get to mm-hmm. a diploma. And are there ways to do that that might provide different pathways for kids, and then how to do that with the staffing that you have too, because it's hard to stretch people who are already stretched pretty far. So just, you know, trying to prioritize that and think about, mm-hmm. are we using our staff the most efficiently that we can? Are there ways that we can make some adjustments there?
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's
and some
things.
Of the needs of the community, especially if you've got the, I think we've had down for quite a while, the 4-year track quite soundly, because that's mm-hmm. where education kind of developed in some ways, but is also gearing toward some of the other opportunities, whether it's someone going right out into the job market immediately or more of the, like we said, career technical. And that's what we also heard again this last weekend was mm-hmm. how much of a need that is. So we're not unique in the desire to want to provide it for our kids, but we're also limited by funds and warm bodies to actually even teach it that are, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's where some of the outreach to the community, too, comes mm-hmm. into is if we don't have someone on staff, is it something someone can come in and teach a particular mm-hmm. unit without running into trouble of not having a license. You know, there are certain mm-hmm. things you can do. And so some of it that is trying to coordinate that or get that mm-hmm. going, which may be challenging with the level of staff that we have. But if community members are hearing about it and they want to be able to come in and have a unique skill that would be helpful, especially if, like with the boroughs trying to set up some sort of apprenticeship program that could dovetail quite nicely with some of our
yeah.
avenues that we're trying to hopefully develop over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I remember Steve Giesgraf was talking mm-hmm. about that a while back. Was there anything in the survey that surprised you?
Some of them were funny. You could tell a kid had filled
them out. There were a few student ones I could see. Yeah.
The ones that made me laugh, and I have heard this in my own home because you have a physical size difference between children in your house, is, you know, these teenagers and probably more teenager boys, oh, there's not enough food at the lunch. You know, it was just funny to see that that was a big, huge concern for someone.
Yep.
And I thought, well, maybe for some it is, you know, yeah. but, you know, I want more food than what. It was kind of cute at the same time.
There was a peanut butter and jelly choice.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Too, somewhere in there that was pretty funny.
So some of them were, you know, but that one was actually in there a handful of times, at least the ones we read. And I know that my own 16-year-old, because he's growing, mm-hmm. then, you know, I my solution was bring a lunch from home and then also eat the school lunch. Yeah. But
have two every day.
He didn't care for that solution.
So another thing I wanted to touch on is the fact that there is a new start time over at the high school. And is it the high school and middle school, or just the high mm-hmm. school that has
high
a new
school
start?
And middle school?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Will you talk a little bit about the new security that's over there and why the start times make a difference in that?
Well, so as we've been using the main entrance of the high school for both the middle and high school students to enter in the morning. And we were holding kids, the start time officially was 8:15, and so kids, we were trying to figure out the best way to monitor kids outside and inside the building and when to open those doors and how to do that with staffing and all the rest. And so what ended up happening was there was a large group of kids that were waiting outside for the doors, basically the doors to open closer to that 8:15, or 8:05, 8:10, 8:15 time.
And that's because of the school bus schedule partly?
The bus, and also just numbers of people and staff members and where is everybody and mm-hmm. where are the kids going to go and, you know, kind of the flow.
Yeah.
So Mr. King proposed, you know, opening the doors at really any time between 7:45 and 8:05, and the day is going to start at 8:05 instead of 8:15, and just get the day rolling. And then what they're also doing, they were finding that kids were not having enough time in between. They do like a second chance, they call it second chance breakfast, and they mm-hmm. do it like at 9 o'clock, 9:05, and lots of kids are eating, which is great because we're on that community eligibility provision mm-hmm. in the middle and high school. So we have a lot of kids who participate in the second chance breakfast, which is great. But they were not able to actually get everybody all the way through. So it was actually kind of creating a bottleneck there too. And then kids were ending up late for the next class. Anyway, so mm-hmm. we just needed to stretch it out a little bit. So
you use that extra 10 minutes to mm-hmm. then pad for the second mm-hmm. chance breakfast. Mm-hmm. Oh, that works out really nicely.
Yep. So it stretches it out. And then having the kids come in early, they just go right to their classrooms, and sometimes they can touch base with teachers, and most kids are coming in around that time yeah. anyway. I mean, that's about when kids get there, so there's really no reason not to just get going.
Yeah, and now everybody is entering through the high school. Mm-hmm. I know that there have been talk of having a buzzer there at the front. Has mm-hmm. that been moved along? Is that looks like it's going to happen?
Yep, it is going to happen. We actually just completed getting the system installed last week, and getting another couple cameras out there just to have that capability. And we've got a few more logistical things we need to figure out. We need to think about kids going back and forth to the shop and, mm-hmm. you know, how to navigate open campus lunch and who watches the door. And I mean, anyway,
yeah,
nothing is ever as simple as, you know, you think that it should be, but it will help to just know who is coming in and out of the building. And you know, we're not trying to stop people from ever coming in. We're just trying to, really have just a better understanding of especially in that high school entrance. It's a very, it's not very conducive to having a good line of sight there. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, buildings were built many years ago and they yeah. were never designed to be thinking about these kinds of things. Unfortunately, they just weren't, you know, yeah. the office is clear off on the left in a whole other space. You have to turn and, you know, intentionally walk to the office. And if you, I mean, it's,
yeah,
unfortunately, these are the times where we need to have a better handle on who's coming in and out of the building. So, yeah. So that will probably start after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Mm-hmm. After Thanksgiving. All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. And then two small budgetary items. There's a proposed increase in the per diem. Quite a big increase. Mm-hmm. Right now, staff, when they're traveling, get $40 per day. And you would bring it up to $60 per day. Mm-hmm. And then also an increase in substitute teacher pay. And I just wanted to hear a little bit about both of those. And I was also curious if that's going to affect your budget.
Well, it probably will.
Yep. It should. But I think what we're finding is that for those that were volunteering or even on direct work-related trips, it was at $40, it was barely paying for breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
So trying to bump it up to what we thought was fairly reasonable for what you could grab for a lunch and a breakfast and a breakfast, lunch and dinner. And then sub pay was also straight up. I'll say the discussion, at least what the initial thought was, is trying to entice some people that are able to sub to make it worth their while mm-hmm. financially. And that's what it comes down to, is trying to make it worthwhile.
Do you know what the increase is going to be for sub pay?
Yeah, we discussed making some adjustments and increases to teacher and classified. So mm-hmm. for our parapros and our custodial staff and our food service and office staff. So we were proposing to increase our non-certified teacher subs. Everything is going to bump up by $25. So
okay. It'll
go from non-certified teacher subs, $125, will go to $150, certified teacher $175. And then we do a few years ago, or the last time we actually made a change to our, which was just last year, and it hadn't been adjusted for a long time, mm-hmm. to provide a higher rate of pay for our retired teachers who have honestly kept us going for a lot of years. And they're worth their weight in gold. And we want to be able to acknowledge their continued, consistent, reliable service.
Yeah, I think you could also argue they know the school district, so mm-hmm. their learning curve and the ability to actually probably do a really effective job at subbing is higher.
Yeah.
Just from the fact that they worked here. You know, they know the drill. So
yeah, exactly.
We wanted to try and financially compensate them for that.
Yeah. And you said that sometimes it is hard to find subs. Has there been situations in the recent past where there just weren't teachers to cover classrooms?
Oh, yes.
What do you do in those situations?
We all pitch in. People teach during their preps. Principals cover classes. I cover classes. That's what we do.
Probably a situation to be avoided if you can.
Yep, exactly. And then we also wanted to increase the rate of pay for our classified subs as well.
What does that mean?
For anybody that's subbing for like our aides or, so we raised that. And we actually raised that a couple of years ago as well. It was only $11.50 an hour. We raised it to $15 and now we're raising it to $17. And then we want to offer, again, any of our retired aides who have worked with us. And we've had people who have worked for us, you know, for 25 or 30 years mm-hmm. and they retire and some of them stay in town. And we would also, again, like to acknowledge, you know, their level of expertise. When they come in, they just come in and hit the ground running. So we want to offer our retired classified staff an hourly rate of $20 an hour instead. So,
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, one last question. Sarah looks like she knows what I'm going to ask.
No, I don't.
I want to hear about this AASB Carl Rose Award for Excellent School Service.
Well, apparently I didn't know anything about it until the agenda setting, but no, I guess your school board has to nominate you. And it's just, Carl Rose was kind of one of the beginning education advocates in the state of Alaska to get school boards together as an association and say, let's, you know, kind of pool our power. And he was their executive director for decades. I met him before, after I think he retired. And he just was an education force in the state, and mm-hmm. not only working with the legislature, but just helping school boards get more organized, helped with training, you know, what we should and should not be doing as board members. So he was just a full force for years. And so they started that once he passed away, and they awarded each year, you know, it's,
yes. She would be well deserving.
But
that's
I will
what
say
I
the gal who did win from, I've known her for a while from Kenai, or not Kenai, Cordova. She's an amazing board member, and it was fully deserved for her to win.
So the timing is a little bit funny
it's kind of weird. So yeah. I might amend this.
You have to be nominated by your school board, but then you weren't, because the school board meets, presumably because it meets once a month.
Right.
You're being nominated after the award was already given out.
Yes, we're asking for forgiveness, not permission, I guess, at this point, because we already have done it.
Technically, yeah, in order for my name to even be thrown into the hat, but...
Which does seem odd to me. I still think it's weird, but
I don't
anyway.
Know, maybe they look for him earlier in the season. I don't know. I don't even pay attention, but...
Well, so one of the things that, they had part of the application in the agenda, and it said that you have been on the board consecutively since 2008, so 15 years straight on
time.
The board. why have you been on the board for so long?
Well, when I got on the board, I was a stay-at-home mom. Alex was one, and he's 16 now. And I felt like I had time. I had some free time.
You do not have that anymore.
And some of it is, I was like that in high school and college. I always had to have something else going on besides just the job. Mm-hmm. So, I grew up thinking I was going to be a teacher. So this is as close as I'm ever going to get. And that's fine with me.
Yeah. She is a service leader. That's what I would say.
I will say I was kind of behind the scenes for many years. And then mm-hmm. as we've been replaced, I wouldn't say that I have a good memory of everything that's gone on over the 15 years, but I enjoy it. I'm happy to step aside when someone else is ready. But as long as I feel like I'm needed, I'll probably keep plugging away.
Yeah. You were just voted president again this fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long are the president terms?
I think it was just a year, aren't we? Don't we resettle every year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're voted. Yeah. And how many years have you been president?
I don't know. See, I'm terrible.
Most of those
I don't keep track.
Most of she tried to step back at one point.
Oh, Mara did it when she was on the board.
Yeah, yeah. Because you did have, both the kids were young.
It's a little extra work. You know, it's a little more work than just being a board member. Not much. Sometimes it fluctuates. During COVID, it was more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, when you have, but it's, it can fluctuate.
What would you say to people who are interested in being on the school board and have not yet run?
I would say do your homework. Find out what's going on in the district. If you're getting on, I call it for the wrong reasons, because of a one-item issue, you will learn very quickly that you are a group of members, that you alone cannot make that change, and you're getting on a board for the wrong reason. I think that's why the board has been so effective for so many years, is that we have consistently not had members that would come on, or if they did, they quickly figured out, oh, I can't just unilaterally make changes, mm-hmm. And then began to work together. We are all pretty good about getting our training, because I have been on boards that clearly don't understand their roles, and you have to make sure you stay in your lane and don't do things you shouldn't be doing. But at the same time, you know, there are times that it calls for you asking a few extra, digging a little bit deeper, but we're pretty regulated on what we can and can't do. And mm-hmm. it's knowing that, but it's enjoyable. I like it. It is work. You have to do your homework. You cannot just show up to a meeting and wing it. And so just know that if you do want to get on the board, it is not just the meeting once a month that you mm-hmm. need to show up for. You've got to do some behind scenes reading and research. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So it can be time consuming at times. And then other times it can be a little bit more, as things are humming along, you're kind of settled in and maybe less time commitment.
But, yeah. Well, thank you for your 15 years of service.
That's what we say, too. We are very grateful.
We have just a minute or two left. Is there anything that you would like to add about what you're going to be discussing at tonight's meeting?
Well, I will call out that we, and I think it was attached to my report tonight, but we are pleased to announce that we are number 12 on the major maintenance list for our capital improvement submittal application this fall. And I mean, where it will go at the legislative and governor level remains to be seen. But number 12 is a very high ranking, and the consultant that helped us do the work on it said that, you know, looking at past projects that have been funded or even the ranking that has been funded, they've kind of have not, nothing's consistent, but they tend to put, you know, they'll put like, okay, we're going to fund $30 million worth of projects, and they'll go forward with that, or $20 million worth of projects, and ours would fall
within that range.
Within that range. So he feels like it's a strong, and it's a roof. I mean, it's not like we're building an ice skating rink, which would also be really cool, but I mean, we're putting a roof on, so it's like
track and field.
It has to happen, you know.
It's a little more necessary than the ice skating
rink.
We
have to do it, so you know. So I mean, it's not the most interesting, but it's it, you know, it ranks high because it's needed and it was done correctly. So,
and when will you find out whether or not that gets to move forward?
Well, next session, you know.
All right. Yep. Once the budget is settled at the end of the session, so next spring or early summer.
Or July.
So cross your fingers now.
Yeah.
Or better yet, advocate at the state level.
Yes, we will be continuing to put that word out as well, after, especially after this last weekend. It has already started, so
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.